Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Wrestling Remembered. I'm your host, What a J Joe. Welcome Friday, everybody here. The chat is already booming. I can't believe it. Happy Friday again. I keep saying it. I don't know why. But anyways, I am joined by my esteemed colleagues who all of a sudden we reversed order when I took you guys out and put you back in. So you messed me all up. So I'll go right around the horn here. First up, we got the president of Thursday Night. He's the man, the myth, the legend, you name him. Here he is, Mr. Phil DeCesare.
TGIF, baby. Good to see everybody here. Great to be a part of the show.
Awesome. Then right below him, he is the Thursday Night Delight. He is the two-time, two back weeks in back. A row. That's right. Back-to-back, back the 30 to back. Champion.
Going for the three-peat.
The Playa, the Poet Laureate of the 32.
The Playa is back. I'd like to thank all my beautiful friends all over the country for all the beautiful vibrations. I'm still wanting to see if somebody can come figure out where I came up with that from.
Okay, what's up? We could see the lava lamp last night.
Don't forget, he's also the Poet Laureate of the 30.
Yeah, I said
that. It's the opening
of a song that came out in 1968.
Ah, I gotcha.
Well, oh, I got to think. I don't remember.
I think Phil was the lead singer of that band, so I'm surprised you haven't come up with it yet.
What was it again, Benny? Can you say it again?
I'll tell you, actually. It was the Sir Mendocino by the Sir Douglas Quintet.
Oh my.
Great song. All right.
That's so obscure. I love it.
Moving on. Finally, my last esteemed colleague, and I use that word very loosely. He is the crooked referee in the history of the 30. Here he is. The referee, Bruce ESO. Welcome, Bruce. What's happening?
What's going on, guys? How's it going tonight? And don't worry, Joe. I'll let that slide. I won't deduct any points because I know how badly that hurt you last night. I mean, it kept you out of going into the next round.
I was mathematically eliminated after the first question. There was no way I could come back from that. I mean,
that -3 really put you in a hole.
What I should have done was just started throwing in sound bites and just messing with everybody's audio and stuff like that. That's the only way. I should have got really crooked at the end, but oh well. seems like the internet had some issues with Dan too. So Dan kind of got pummeled at the end there as well.
And right.
Yeah, definitely. So hang on one second, guys. I gotta go fix my antenna. It just fell off the back of the antenna.
We have antenna problems on Friday. I didn't know we still have antennas in this
world.
Well,
usually I'm not on Wi-Fi. Really? Usually I'm hardwired in, but tonight I'm on Wi-Fi, so I've got the extension there.
Absolutely hate that. All right, folks, we have a lively chat. Phil's already talking about the nude bowling event next week.
I had to find out if Maria knows anything about it.
Don't give it away. You got to tune into What a Day next week. I got
the name for pins is wood, so I guess it does fit.
So we're doing things a little bit different tonight. I thought we'd shake things up, change it up. You know, instead of throwing a topic out there, I thought maybe the people in the chat, your fans, you guys, we can just have what we call, you know, the old fashioned open forum. We'll just talk about things wrestling related. I hope we can keep it at that, but I'm already seeing the nude bowling event comments. So, what was the first one there, Benny, that you mentioned earlier? Wrestlers, first time wrestlers we've met?
The first time any of us ever met a wrestler.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Who wants to lead off with that one? Go ahead.
I'm gonna do my story if I could. I mean,
yeah,
not necessarily the first time, but definitely the best time is when I had dinner with Bruno Sammartino at Rico's Italian restaurant in Pittsburgh, the North Hills, on December 16th, 2017, which was 4 months before he passed away. And I was sitting about 10 feet away from him across the table was Carol, his wife. Sitting right next to me to my right was Dominic DiNucci.
Oh, wow.
And at the end of the table was Donnie Iris. So anybody who's a rock fan knows who Donnie Iris is. Yeah. Love is Like a Rock, Aaliyah.
Oh, Aaliyah,
I think there was probably about 20 people there. I guarantee we consumed at least like 37 bottles of wine. I can only imagine what the bill was. And when I went out when I took my Amex card out, somebody at the server said, "No, it's already taken care of." And I said, "Okay." You know,
Iris was hanging out with Bruno and you guys?
Donnie Iris was at the end of the table.
Wow.
He's a Pittsburgh guy. And at the end of the dinner, I was hanging out with him and his girlfriend. And I was lamenting how the Yankees should have won that 1960 World Series. Okay. We outscored them 60-27, but we still lost in seven games.
Oh, wow. My God. Unbelievable. Phil, what about you? First time meeting a wrestler?
My life that didn't involve a hooker.
Well, somebody paid the price, that's for sure.
And then I went nude bowling. No, I didn't do that.
Phil, what about you? First time meeting a wrestler. Who do you got?
You know, it had to be, I think Andre was the first one I at least shook a hands with, or he shook my arm, I would say. So yeah. We're going back 40 plus years. Bob Backlund, too, back in the day. Yeah. And from there, it went on and on. Meeting, of course, Marty and had many outings with Mr. Marty Jannetty since then. John Nord, Balls Mahoney came to our place in Worcester back in the day to watch his match on pay-per-view with Rob Van Dam. He hadn't watched it yet, and he actually watched it with me. Yeah, in the ECW days. So, and Owen Hart,
where did ECW go in Worcester back then? Was that was it an armory down there? Because they used to go to like Fall River and all that stuff. But
there were two places in Worcester. And the first one was the Palladium in Worcester, which is downtown, which is an old theater that hosts many concerts. It's right on Main Street.
Kiss 108.
Yeah. It was a great location. They actually have boxing there now, too, every 6 months or so, pro boxing. So it's quite a venue. So I've been very, very blessed. And Owen Hart, the night with Owen was one of the best ever. Goldberg spent a lot of time with him. Wow. He came to the gym and he and I sat for like an hour. In fact, we had such good rapport. He gave me his business manager's, his business card. They sent me like three t-shirts and tickets to a Nitro. Goldberg, totally cool, man. And I bumped into him again. He remembered me and God bless. Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. ESL, what about you? First time meeting a wrestler. How old were you? Like when was that?
Oh, geez, I was a little kid. I mean, I would say probably first wrestler I ever met in person was Captain Lou Albano. Would have probably been at one of the local grocery stores. He was always
he must have scared the hell out of you. If I saw him at the grocery store, I'd be like,
He was wearing real clothes.
At that point, it was already the beginning of the Rock and Wrestling. What's that?
Did he have the rubber bands on his face and all that stuff?
Did he slip on meatballs?
He had the rubber bands on his face. But,
did he have his open shirt?
So that was probably the first one.
did he blade?
That's spontaneous.
But I know what he was buying, though. That unborn virgin's goat milk. That's what he was buying. I tried to find that stuff everywhere. I couldn't find it when I was
kid. Careful, you can get into trouble stocking those animals.
In my adult life, I think the first person I met was Tony Atlas. He was staying in the condos near where I was staying.
One morning,
I walked out and he was loading up his car on his way to the gym. And at that point, he was really a cool dude, down to earth, pretty gracious. And now I've met a bunch of guys, and like all you guys, we've met a bunch of really cool people, and a bunch of guys that I'm sure we kind of wouldn't leave our wallet in the room with.
Avenue of Broken Dreams.
Bruce, so you have heat with Tony Atlas, don't you?
Who's got heat? Who's got
Bruce
heat with
does,
Tony?
I thought.
Bruce, you got heat with Tony?
No real heat. I just, the last time, Tony tries to work people. It's what the wrestlers do. I could say before the last time, the first few times I've dealt with him, he was really cool. Last time I dealt with him, he, for some reason, thought I was working with Eric Sims against Mike Monty, and he kept telling Mike, "You better watch that kid. He's better watch that kid." And he just, overall, the whole day, he was a kind of a dick to me. And then at the end of the night, I finally said something to him, and then actually I have a picture of it. He gives me the sheepish look. "Oh, I'm so sorry." He's not a bad dude, but give these guys a little bit, they will try to work you. They're out for themselves in the long run. That's the reality.
Bruce, I gave Tony Atlas a tank top that day from our home gym up here, and boy, now I feel bad about that, having known that. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
No, Alexis, he wasn't. I mean, it's not that he wasn't a bad dude. It just was the circumstance. Eric Sims' reputation with some of the guys, and he thought I was working with Sims. I mean, okay. So I get it, but at the same time, Mike's like, "Come on, man. This dude's been here helping us all the time."
No kidding. So my first time meeting a wrestler outside of, like, I grew up obviously at the Garden and so forth like that. And I've actually had friends in high school whose older siblings were friends with some of the wrestlers. But the first wrestler I ever really met outside of the Garden was, I think I told you the story before, was Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. It was his first night in Boston. I want to say it was like 84. He lost a battle royal in 30 seconds. And he was out, it was after the show, and he was at this pizza place. I walked in with a couple of my friends, and he ended up buying us a slice of pizza, and we sat down and we talked to him for like an hour. He was like a coach, a mentor type guy. It was really cool. Very nice guy. And actually shared that story with Travis Orndorff, his son. He says, "Joe, he's done that for hundreds of kids. Everywhere he went, he was a genuine nice guy outside the ring and so forth, was really into coaching and all that stuff." So that was the first time I met a wrestler. I mean, he was built too, man. I was a 14-year-old scrawny kid at that time. And he's like, telling me to stay in school, keep doing sports, all that stuff. So that was, kind of a neat experience, you know? But other than that, I mean, we've been around wrestlers in the industry over the years and so forth. So it's been crazy. I did meet Cyndi Lauper in Providence, though, Rhode Island, back in 86. I was with some friends, and we were backstage, and that's when Gorilla Monsoon was running the show back then.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. That was the good old days. Good old days. But, yeah. By the way, I did put in the chat that nude event, the bowling event, is called Balls Out. That's the night of Balls Out. So,
Balls Out.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. So anybody else? All right. You got a Katie Vick thing, player, don't you? You got something coming up with Katie Vick?
Well, I wrote and it was really funny because, I write for Pro Wrestling Stories. And for whatever reason, I normally do stories about, old school wrestlers.
Right.
That's like 95% of the stories
that
I've written. But for whatever reason, I thought, you know what? I think if I wrote about the Katie Vick incident, I think it would go viral. And I pitched JP Zarka, who's the editor, my I call him my ambassador, Quan. And at first he didn't want to do it. And I thought, you know what? I said, this is going to be like an Enquirer, like the National Enquirer, when you see it when you're online at the grocery store. and you see that Lee Harvey Oswald and JFK are still alive, you know, in an incubator somewhere. And I think what's the Bat Boy? I said, I think this is going to really, it's going to take off. So eventually he caved in. So I wrote a story about it. But I actually, I think that was in 2003. I'd be curious to, you know, as far as you guys or anybody in the chat room, what you thought about it. But like, I was so disgusted that night. I don't think I turned wrestling on for about two more years.
Well, let's get reintroduced to that sickness. How about that, huh? What about that? The Katie Vick storyline. Oh, my God. Did this really happen? I don't think I watched it live. I do recall seeing it on videos later on, but did he really mount this mannequin in the cast?
It was Triple H dressed as Kane, who actually went into the casket and had, you know, allegedly had sex with the corpse of Katie Vick, and he grabbed some stuff that looked like some kind of goop. And he said, I blanked her brains out. And it was like, I was so disgusted.
He pulled the mannequin's underwear off. Guy. If you look at the upper right corner, he's holding the mannequin's underwear and then he mounts her or whatever it is. But like, I could not believe that was an actual storyline. That is just, that is insane. Absolutely insane. I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot of things in bad taste.
I thought the birth of the hand was something, but geez, that was
Maria Davis is saying that was disgusting. Yeah, it was, and Playmate Beth Harper, it was nasty. Like I said, I did not watch wrestling for at least 2 years after that.
I don't understand what the storyline was all about. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, why would it have to entail that?
Like, well, apparently, this was like Triple H and Kane were feuding.
Right.
And
no, I get that.
Triple H was bringing up the fact that I guess that Kane took Katie Vick out to a party and then they were drinking and he was drunk and then he killed her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know what? This is a way to, they were trying to bring in another wrestler. I don't know if he was in, I think he was in WCW, Scott Vick, who played Sick Boy, who was in Raven's Flock.
Oh, okay.
So they wanted to somehow bring him into the picture to kind of tangle with Triple H or with Kane.
Yeah.
But I guess he was really awful in all the tryouts and everything. So they thought, so they never used him. So they basically did this whole skit, you know, for naught, I think.
Oh, nice.
But that was the whole idea. And you know what's interesting? This was being filmed during an actual wake in another area of the funeral home. You know, things are partitioned off. So they actually shot this thing while another wake was going on. So I can only imagine what those people were hearing, you know, on the other end of the partition.
That just makes no sense to me at all. I don't know. That's crazy. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so we got some people in the chat here.
I got a giant I told you so with JP, because normally one of these stories has between 5,000 and 10,000 views, reads. Mine is at the Katie Vick story is at 190,000 reads.
Oh, geez. Views. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of necrophilia.
Yeah, it shows, you know, people, you write about pulp, people will, they'll flock to it.
I guess so. So Foxhole William at Bob Backlund, 83 at the Garden.
Nice.
Awesome.
Which Garden?
That's what I want to know. Which Garden?
I think Boston. He's a mess guy. I'm pretty sure.
Yep, that's what I thought.
There's only one real garden.
I know.
I hear you. Beth Hopper met the Rock and Roll Express about 5 years ago. That's cool.
Nice.
That is very cool.
Yes.
Let me see. We got some people in here. Of course, Nude Bowling's really taken off in the chat. So I guess everybody can't wait for What a Day on Wednesday. Let me see here. What else we got going on? All right.
Centerville's going to have an influx of Monty and the Pharaoh fans. They're welcome to Nude Bowling.
I know. Here's a good topic. This is perfect for us. Thank you, Maria. I appreciate it. Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda, going into the Hall of Fame, just announced this morning.
Yeah.
My immediate reaction was, wow, Mike Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt's dad's going in. Barry Windham's already in there with the Four Horsemen. Does this give Bray Wyatt a platform, so to speak? Not that he doesn't need one. I, you know me personally, I think Bray should have his own night by himself. But do you think that might be the big star this year, Bray Wyatt going in posthumously? What do you guys think? Anybody?
All right. Well, first of all, I actually was a little surprised. I thought the U.S. Express was in the Hall of Fame, but only Barry Windham had been in.
Yep.
But before, but overall, I think it does. It definitely opens the door for Bray to come in, and you know, I'm excited. I think are they going to induct them as Rotundo and Barry Windham, or are they going to bring him in as IRS too? Because he did mention it. I don't know if you saw the phone call between Triple H and the two of them. It's circulating the internet now. And he mentioned IRS. He mentioned a lot of the other gimmicks that the two of them had done.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to induct him as.
They're going in as the U.S. Express. What else can they be? I mean, that was pre-IRS days and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. Windham became the Widowmaker, I think. Yeah, and was he also something called the Night
Stalker?
Stalker. That's after what that? It was. Yeah. And all the camo, right? Camouflage. Yeah,
that was horrible.
Yeah.
So that was a good deal. What do you think, Phil? Is that a good call?
Returning. I think it's a good call, boy, and that could lead to, say, you know, in terms of the legacy winner, you know, being maybe a Bray, you know, certainly because the family's already going to be there on hand, so logistically it makes sense too, and you know, it would be, I think it would be hard not to honor Bray somehow anyway. But yeah, I remember Windham and Rotundo. In fact, they wrestled back-to-back at the Worcester Centrum in successive months.
Yeah.
Coming out to Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA.
It was a
pre-copyright
days, that's right.
Exactly.
Yep.
That really got them a big pop, too. You know, they had a pretty good feud with Volkoff and Sheiky Baby, you know.
Hawk Patooey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheeky Baby. Yep. Unbelievable.
Now that Vince is no longer in the picture, though, they do have to right some wrongs and get guys like Ivan Koloff and Dominic DiNucci, Tony Garea, Rick Martel. You know, take care of those guys first, and then we can talk about some of the newer guys.
No, I agree with that, because the one thing is nobody's getting any younger here, so the more they delay this, the more, you know.
Do it while they're alive.
That's
what
I'm saying, right? I mean, Ivan Koloff, obviously. But, yeah, former world champion, that's a head-scratcher to me. Why he's not in there.
He won the equivalent of the World Heavyweight Championship in the WWA Bruiser's territory, and then he won the same thing in Montreal. Besides winning the WWWF, I mean, the guy has like more gold in Fort Knox.
Yeah.
It's a shame he had to pass away and not get that honor.
Yeah, Ivan Koloff. I swear, in the old Hall of Fame videos, he's there. Like in the crowd or with somebody, or I think I've seen him at the event, but obviously not inducted,
right?
But he was there. So I want to say he actually inducted somebody. Did he not before? Oh, I gotta research that. Bruce, what do you think? ESO, what do you think? Ivan Koloff? I mean, yes, no, yeah.
Well, Koloff, by the time I was around, he was teaming with Nikita and what was it? Crusher Khrushchev as the
Barry Darso,
over the NWA, Barry Darso, exactly. Who soon after became part of Demolition. So
wow, unbelievable.
Then Repo Man, then Blacktop Bully.
Yeah. What I find amazing though is that they are rapid firing these Hall of Fame nods. It started Monday with Heyman, Tuesday with Bull Nakano, and now they're ending the week with Rotunda and Wyndham US Express going in. You think they're going to have rapid fire all the way up until WrestleMania? Do you think this might be a class of my 20 people? Or do you think it's going to be calf? Because now that you have three already on the docket, you still got another month to promote WrestleMania in the Hall of Fame. Like, how many people do you think are going in this year for this class?
I didn't get a chance to talk about that last night as you guys did on the 30. And I have my own opinions. So, Bull Nakano is part of. She was part of when WWF was at one of its worst times. Not really sure why she's being brought in. There's lots of other candidates who should be brought in before her. Paul Heyman absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
But at this point, he's on WWE Television Weekly.
Yeah,
you know, if he weren't on WWE Television Weekly, I'd say absolutely bring him in this year. It's Philadelphia. However, I don't know. I always think Hall of Fame, I think retired. But then again, you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and a lot of those guys are still touring. So,
well, isn't Philly birthplace to ECW? That's kind of like the whole thing.
That's why they're pushing it, I think.
That's what I think. Because he has turned it down in the past, which I was shocked. I don't know how you would turn that. But, you know, it is what it is. Phil, what do you think about that?
What I think, I'll tell you, you guys made a good point regarding the way so many of these wonderful people are just passing away, you know. You know, there's nothing worse than, I think, these posthumous awards. And so my thought is maybe we should increase just the volume of people each year getting the awards, you know, because there's still so much talent that's been overlooked. I know not everybody can go into the Hall of Fame, but I do think that they could really stand to maybe increase the inductions each year. And again, reach out, you know, and for some of these guys, it's really a big deal. And it really is. Oh, it's closure in many ways. And, you know, for them to be acknowledged amongst their peers and for us to have the chance, see whether it's in the audience or watching from afar to participate and to appreciate this.
Sure.
I think they need to cast that net out. And I think they need to issue a few more inductions just to make, you know, because again, we have such a volume of workers in the so many right. decades gone by, and I want to see more people receive their awards, their flowers, as we say right now, you know, that's the new phrase, right? Get their flowers. So,
you know, part of the Hall of Fame award ceremonies, you know, obviously it's a newer award, the Warrior Award, that's presented every year. Dana Warrior does it. She got laid off last year. She got fired. What do you bring her back for one? Like, how does that leave like a certain, I hate to say it, black eye over that award when you fire the wife of the person who's named after who presented that award? I mean, she's going to come out. Is it a one night deal? Those are the questions I have, because we all know the Hall of Fame is Vince McMahon's puppy. He started it. He created it. He wanted to have something, some type of legacy and all that stuff, which is great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But, you know, you go and fire Dana Warrior from the from WWE. What do you bring her back? Everyone knows she's late. You know, it's weird.
Who's going to induct the winner, right?
Yeah, like it's a Warrior Award named after the Ultimate Warrior that's presented by Dana Warrior, the wife.
Yeah.
You bring her back for one. Like, I just find it very, very strange that they would do that. I mean, I don't know. Bruce, what do you think?
Yeah, 1 second.
What are you, gambling?
No, I was typing into something else.
Checking his bank account after last night.
Checking the bribes.
Yeah. Nice jacket you got.
Yeah, I noticed like every week his wardrobe gets nicer and nicer.
Got to pay attention to the details.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, guys, listen, one of the other things I wanted to bring up was somebody who I really think should be brought into the Hall of Fame this year, and that's Haku, King Tonga.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy, he's done everything outside of being a world champion, but he's probably one of the most respected people amongst his peers.
Yeah, he's what I call a workhorse in the WWE. He was everything. He was always at all the house shows. He was always on TV. He had a great run. I think he worked behind the scenes. Is he related to The Rock?
Toma, right? The Islanders.
Is he related to The Rock at all? I thought The Rock always called him his cousin or something. Or is that just
honorary, Joe? Honorary. It's more honorary. Yeah.
But isn't he the father of this new guy, Tama Tonga?
Yep. Oh, there just signed my WWE. He's the stepfather.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Adopted father, I think, or adoptive father, I think. But yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Plus, he's a world-class nose biter, so I think that he should get inducted just for that.
Nice. Ja Will's in the house. Ja Will, we're going to go to a commercial break real quick.
Cool.
But I'm asking everybody in the chat, start throwing some subjects at us. We don't want to keep – this is your forum tonight. This is an open forum. We can talk about whatever. We'll save the nude bowling for Wednesday night with What a Day.
Yeah.
Let's pay some bills. Let's pay some bills. I'll be right back.
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
You need a body shop? You need engine repair? Auto Excellence, Collision Specialists, 631-261-6420. That's 631-261-6420. Auto Excellence. Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No, I mean I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Hmm.
Elm Logistics for all your logistic needs. Call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics. Pride, performance, and partnerships.
All right, guys, we paid some bills, all right? So we had to get that out of the way. Don't forget, the beautiful second set of commercials will be coming your way momentarily as well. But open forum out there. I see the chat is hooking it. Ja Will, today is Women's Wrestling. Today is Women's History Day. That's right, yes. And he's got his top five female wrestlers. Okay, you guys ready for the top five female wrestlers?
Sure.
Number five, Mildred Burke, Fabulous Moolah, Wendy Richter, Tori Wilson, and Ronda Rousey. What do you guys think of that list?
I think Tori Wilson needs to go.
I know, huh? No, Leilani.
I would put Mae Young.
Leilani Kai on there.
Tori Wilson.
My God. Mildred Burke, though, yeah, obviously. She was one of the founding mothers of wrestling there as well. Wendy Richter, definitely, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hall of Famer. Which, again, I hate to bring up the Hall of Fame.
Top five Wendy Richter, though. How the hell
is Cyndi Lauper not in the Hall of Fame? I'm still scratching my head over that. I just don't get it, but whatever.
So would Wendy Richter be in your top five women's wrestlers, though? With the women that are out there nowadays, there's some really, really talented women in the last 10 years.
I mean, you can't forget Trish Stratus. You got to put her in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say top five, sometimes I get generational on that. Your top five might be different from my top five, that type of thing. That's like the PWI 500 that comes out every year. Everybody wants to be in the PWI 500, but yet there's 10,000 wrestlers throughout the U.S., and I could have saw this great match a week ago that could have been match of the year, but obviously you're not going to make the list. So to me, that's like a generational thing. Obviously, Fox O'Willie, Velvet McIntyre. What about Jumping Bomb Angels? They were something tag women, you know?
How about Luna Vachon?
Luna. Yeah, exactly. She was a wrestler.
Lita, Medusa Michelli.
There you China. Go. Medusa, Lita.
China.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You know, Mildred Burke, before she gave birth to that hand, I mean, she was great for years.
I mean, if you look at the women of today, all of them are going to go down as some of the greatest women wrestlers ever, just because of the what they're able to perform now. Well, it's a whole different ball game.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Tori Wilson. No offense, Tori Wilson is eye candy. Tori Wilson should not be on that list.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Tori Wilson. Yeah, that was the Attitude Era. All that. That's like Sable. That's like putting Sable up there and Sunny and all that
Kelly
stuff.
Kelly. Any?
Yeah. What about the girls of today? The women of today. Some of them. It's like, I don't know. They're trying to manufacture these stars. You know, some are gifted athletes. Don't get me wrong. Tiffany Stratton being on the U.S. gymnastics team. And then you got girls like Liv Morgan who had to work their way up through the ranks and so forth. Is there anybody that stands out that you think as a woman wrestler, pound for pound, looks aside, all that stuff, that could actually make it just on wrestling ability alone? Does anybody stick out to you guys?
Asuka. Asuka's one of the most underrated talents ever, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Bruce, what about you, Bruce?
Well, I mean, I think Bayley puts on a great show.
Bayley's great.
Io Sky, for her size, is absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, there's a bunch
Bianca's
of them.
Is going to be great. I mean, she already
is Bianca.
Great.
Yeah. What about across the Phil? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we can't forget Charlotte Flair. I know she has the look. She has the rap, the innovation inside the ring. You know what a great submission she has, and just a great talent. Really knows that
she turns heel on a dime, turns face on a dime.
Yeah.
What about that? We're covering WWE, but what about AEW, TNA, Impact, all that? Anybody stand out on that side of the business that could do it pound for pound? To me, Chris Statlander is one. She's very gifted. Sky Blue, yes.
Statlander, definitely. Yeah.
Sky Blue can wrestle. Sky Blue.
Britt Baker loves Joe Wadaday Lowry.
What's that?
I said Britt Baker loves Joe Wadaday Lowry.
Yeah,
Britt Baker. Oh, good doctor. Yeah.
She's been out with a back injury. She's due to come back soon. I mean, I'll tell you right now, during COVID, when we were all stuck at home and had to watch those empty arena matches and so forth, I turned on TNA one night. They were live. It was a weird Saturday night, probably one of their pay-per-views or something. They were showing some free matches. I saw Jordynne Grace taking on Deonna Purrazzo for the Knockouts Championship. Wow. Those two beat the living hell out of each other and put on a hell of a match. It got me so hyped up. I ended up having Jordan Grace on the show a week later because I was like, I got to get a hold of one of these two.
That's pretty amazing.
Jordan Grace, Deonna Purrazzo, very, very gifted. Tony Storm is very gifted. You know, I'm not sure about the size thing, though. I mean, to me, it's a generational thing. I like my wrestlers, both male and female, to be actual wrestlers that are recognizable outside the ring. You know, we come from the land of bigger and bad and all that stuff. A lot of these women now, Red Velvet, they can't even look over the top rope. And I'm like, how can they get in the ring when it, you know what I mean? Rio is another one. She's got to be what? At least 100 pounds, gets in the ring and does her thing. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
So on that topic, you know, someone like Nia Jax, I think, does it for me. Very impressive. I mean, if you were to see her in public, you'd know that she is someone, and you'd know that she's someone you wouldn't want to mess with either, I tell you.
Maria got a good one. Sherry Martel.
Of course.
You know what I mean? They were built like wrestlers, though. They were, you know.
Sherry was great.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I know it's all about eye candy and all that stuff and everything, but you can do that. If you're a big woman, you can't have that. You're in a wrestling ring. You're not on a stripper pole. You're on a wrestling ring, and they should be able to, you know, have the size. And you know, Willow Nightingale, that comes to mind. She's on the larger end, but she can wrestle, and that's what I love about AEW. They take chances on these people. But I know we talked about WWE, but I was trying to flip it over to AEW and TNA and all those other.
Our co-host from True Crime, Brittany Brown, a New England Hall of Fame wrestler.
Boston Bad Girl, absolutely. Yeah,
Boston Bad Girl.
Brittany Brown.
And don't forget the original Women's Wrestling Federation, GLOW, all those superstars.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Glamazon, Beth Phoenix, the Playmate, Beth Harper says Gail Kim. A lot of great names.
Here's a quick one. You guys know I was flipping through my old videos from years ago. 2018, I went to Raw, and I took a video real quick. It was Beth Phoenix taking out Nia Jax and then doing her finishing move on Tamina. It was a run-in. And, you know, I just went back to take a look at it. I got like over 40,000 views on the video because it's sheer strength that Beth Phoenix is picking up Nia Jax, slamming her, and sheer strength of her picking up Tamina, who's no slouch either, by the way, and just totally destroying her at a sold-out Raw on Monday night at the Garden. And it was unbelievable. So I just randomly went back to take a look at it today, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's got like 40,000 views. People like that. That's wrestling.
You know,
I always ask that question. Does size matter when it comes to wrestling? To me, I'm a generational guy. Yeah, bigger is better. And as long as you can wrestle, that's great.
And you know, strength, too. Like Dana Brooke, of course, was a very strong athlete who wasn't the biggest. At least she slimmed down in the course. But you know, very impressive strength, legit strength. And you know when you see it, like you say, Joe, when you see someone scooping someone up, you know, without any help.
Oh, yeah.
That's very impressive.
That's strength right there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Nia Jax has picked up. Nia Jax, just looking at the old videos, is not who she was 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
No.
She has definitely picked up her game. I don't care what you say. I know people online like to bash her and all that stuff. Bianca Belair, another gifted athlete. But these girls work their butts off in the ring because it's not easy. You know, Bruce, what do you think of that?
Absolutely. It's a different world out there. The women, they go out there to put on a show. They're not out there just in a bikini and trying to show off their bodies. Yes, a lot of them are beautiful women, but they're out there to, you know, make it look like they're beating the hell out of each other nowadays. It's gone are the bra and panties match days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're not going to get those back anymore. That's not going to come back. Another topic I want to bring up real quick. Eric Bischoff was on a podcast. I think it was yesterday or Wednesday. We all know about October to December, RAR is leaving the USA Network, going to Netflix for 2024. But there's going to be that 90-day window. I think that was a question on the 30 the other night, too, or a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a 90-day window where right now RAR does not have a home to broadcast. Eric Bischoff went on today yesterday and said, you know, it would be a pretty decent idea to have Raw to actually go off the air for 90 days and build up hype for 90 days to get back to go on the streaming Netflix giants. So what do you guys think of that? You think that's a good idea to go silent, hype it up for 90 days, and then come January, the first week, boom, you're back in action? Because SmackDown's moving to USA Network. NXT is going to the WB or the CW. So what do you guys think of that? Phil, go ahead.
You know, I think timing is everything, Joe, with that. You know, if we're coming into the fall, for example, right?
Right.
You know, football will be just starting up, okay? Baseball will be just wrapping up. And, you know, and the same thing with the NBA and the NHL, you know, just kind of starting to start up again. Sure. So, you know, two modes of thought here. The first being is, how can I miss you if you never go away, you know? Right.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to create that. And, I mean, there's never been an off season before, you know?
Yeah.
And by the same token, now more than ever, we have so many streams of entertainment, you know, millions of channels and just like seemingly nothing on at times. But now, you know, will somebody come in or will someone fill that void?
Right.
I'd say no, nothing will. Okay. Sure. You know, this is how habituated, that's a great word, have we all become to parking our asses in front of the TV Monday, or at the very least setting up to record Monday.
Right.
Exactly. And now Wednesday, and now even Friday, it's on in the background right now, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Creatures of habit, decades of training here, you know.
Yeah.
So will we go away? I don't think so. Will we be hungry for the product when it returns? Definitely.
Sure.
And on that thought too, you notice how they're really getting sensitive about crowd chants and this is not the attitude error, but you know, die Rocky die has been, you know, blocked off.
I don't buy it. But
we used to have close up of signs in 1996 and 97 of die Rocky die, and the announcers would be talking about it and everything. I think they're doing this on purpose.
Could you imagine if they confiscated every suck it sign back in the 90s?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Everybody brought a sign. It was to the point where it was ridiculous.
It was amazing. And then talk about total freedom and talk about no censorship and just the freedom to express yourself and be part of it. And actually, the fans were so instrumental in guiding, I think, the product back then, too. But I do think that they're doing this today. They're kind of clamping down on everything so that when they make the transition to the new service, I think we're going to see maybe a more edgier product, maybe, and more of this. And I think it might be taken up a notch. So I'm hoping that's the case anyway.
I remember going back to those Raws in like, what was it, like quarter of 10 of 8, they would do a fake opening. And they wanted to see everybody's signs so they can get a good glimpse of everything. And I remember when everyone put their signs up, you could hear the explosions. You couldn't see them because there were so many goddamn signs.
Unbelievable. It was a sea of signs.
And I'd noticed that The Rock coming back now, if you notice SmackDown, every week there are more and more signs. It's like we're going back to 1999 again. Like, holy Jesus.
Thank God.
I mean, yeah.
We forgot how to write, you know, in the interim. I thought, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Play, what do you think about all that? Signs, censorship, 90
days? No, I was going to go back to the original question with Bischoff, though. And I agree with Phil that, you know, Cornette always says, how can I miss you if you don't go away?
Right.
And, you know, let's go back to the basic premise for years and years with the territories where a guy would wrestle in a territory. He didn't stay there for 5 years. You know, he might stay there for 9 months, 6 months, you know, as long as he was hot. And then what would he do?
Yeah.
He'd go to another territory where he was hot again. They'd give him a push, and he'd do that. And, you know, maybe in 3 years, he'd go back to the original territory. But, you know, you got guys like, you know, Randy Orton. I mean, all these guys, we see these guys for like years at a time. And, I mean, how many times can you reinvent yourself?
That's the problem.
I mean, certainly 3 months would not be a bad thing if they were off the air.
Because you got to understand now that Raw is the number one most consecutive episodic television. They're on every week. They've been on every week since 94 and all that stuff.
What? Longest running. 93.
So now you're going to streaming Netflix. You're no longer on television. You're no longer on TV. So, yeah, why not take those 90 days? The day of social media is here, folks. You can kill 90 days off in, like, no time. And trust me, the WWE just reached 100 million subscribers on YouTube. All they have to do is put some temporary programming out there for 90 days. So I like the idea. No one's going to miss Raw. Right now, the ratings are just horrible. Then they keep going down. There's nobody moving the needle. There hasn't been anybody moving the needle for quite some time. So for me, I wouldn't mind seeing a 90-day reprieve if that's the case, and hype it up. I'm sure the WWE can come up with very creative ways to get everybody to get over to Netflix and be ready for January, whatever that first Monday in January is when they go live on.
I think it might actually be a really good thing.
I think it would
be. Go away for a couple of months.
Because you're maybe, no longer on that TV. You're not on that root television. You're no longer the longest episodic TV show. You got the record. Yeah. That's it. You know, there's no more records to be broken. And, you know, and then there's the flip side of that, because we were talking about fall and football. You know, Nick Khan has said, and Ari Emanuel says, they may look, you know, not saying it will happen now, but they are looking at chances of moving Raw to another night. Now that it's on a streaming service, not like it doesn't, we all stream now, but if it's going to be on Netflix and it's going to be an on-demand 24/7, you know, maybe Monday night's not such a great thing. You know, if you're still going to keep it at 3 hours, maybe Monday night's not a good idea to keep running if you go into a new network and all that stuff. So I would definitely, you know, maybe switch nights, maybe Tuesday nights. I don't know. You know, it all depends. But yeah, so that's a good one. The chat is very lively. I'm sorry I'm missing out on this. We got a good stuff here. Best microphone men, microphone, Dusty, Flair, Ernie the Cat Lad, the Masked Superstar, Bobby Heenan, and The Rock. That's Ja Will. That's a good one.
Absolutely.
Another topic, the five best non-luchador masked men. We got the Masked Superstar, Mr. Wrestling, the Assassins, Doom the Original, the Spoiler, and the Destroyer.
And the Destroyer, too.
Wasn't there Mr. Wrestling 2 as well?
There's Mr. Wrestling 2. Because
Tim Woods was Mr. Wrestling. He's the one that
made it. Number one, right? Yeah, exactly.
Two was Johnny Walker. One was Tim Woods.
Yeah, exactly. Rubberman Johnny Walker, number two.
That was the first time I was like, oh, my God, a wrestler's meeting a president? He met Jimmy Carter. I was like,
what? Yeah, J.A. Will loves to. What? Yeah, indeed. It was Jimmy Carter's mother's favorite wrestler. So yeah. It was Jimmy's mother, President Carter's mother, who really loved too.
All right, folks, we're going to take one more last quick break, but everybody hold their seats. People in the chat, we'll be right back. I want to see some more topics. Keep them coming. We'll be right back.
Hold your water.
The Monty and the Pharaoh Show is brought to you by...
Because wine is your second favorite four-letter word. California wine, New York attitude, good fucking wine. Yeah.
Tired of that same old breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Same old tasting scrambled eggs, burger, that dinner steak, ribs, or pork chops? Why not add a little bit of spice or just a touch of heat to make the difference? Change that scrambled egg with a little bit of Johnny Fabulous's John Cena Sr.'s Million Dollar Jalapeno Hot Sauce. Great on burgers, steaks, chops, and those barbecued ribs.
And Nitro's Garage for all your automotive needs. Call 646-675-2349. That's 646-675-2349. For all your automotive needs, Nitro's Garage, ask for Jack.
Do you treat your dog as part of the family? Well, so do we. So why not celebrate your pup's birthday with the ultimate party box? Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Party Pup Info, and let us make your pup's party or any celebration perfection.
M&J Video Games and Collectibles, sport and non-sport cards, wrestling items, autographed items. We buy, sell, and trade. M&J Video Games and Collectibles, located at 1049 Queen Street, Southington, Connecticut. Call us at 1-860-479-9223 or 860-93-GAMES. M&J, Video Games and Collectibles.
All right, welcome back to Wrestling Remembered. And the bills have been paid. We can all breathe a sigh of relief there. Foxo Willie had a good one. We started out the program with the first time we met a wrestler. He's got a great one. One wrestler right now you would wish to meet before you die. What do you think about that? One wrestler you wish to meet before you die. Is there anybody on your bucket list right now? Anybody? Bruce? Anybody?
No, not particularly. I mean, I'd like to meet Hulk Hogan, but again, I mean, they're just another, the more I meet, the
it loses its luster.
It's that old meeting your heroes thing. I mean, I really, they're just people doing a job. So the ones I run into, cool. The ones that I don't.
Wow. All right. So what about if you could go back? Well, we could. Phil, do you have one right now? Do you know? No, I see you deep in thought.
I am, yeah. I got the little Rodin the Thinker going here. You know, the thing is, most of the ones I would have wanted to have met are gone now, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to meeting someone, and I hope I get to meet the King Jerry Lawler when down in New York in a week's time. You know, Bruce, he's one guy I'm looking forward to meeting, you know. Oh,
that'd be cool.
Legend. So hopefully.
I'm looking forward to meeting him, but it's not like imperative that, you know, I really want to meet him before, you know.
Yeah.
Play, who do you got? Who would you like to be? Is there anybody?
Well,
like-
I mean, when I was 14, I said there were two people that I wanted to meet in my life. One was Bruno, and the other one was Gary Puckett from Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
He's not a wrestler.
I actually got to meet both. I had dinner with Bruno, and I was working at a home show at the Tampa Convention Center, and I see this guy walking down the aisle. I think, man, that guy looks familiar. I wasn't sure who it was, and I thought, holy shit, that's Gary Puckett. So I left my booth, and I walked up to him and said, you're Gary Puckett, aren't you? And he was genuinely, you know, thrilled that somebody recognized him. We chatted for about 10 or 15 minutes. So, I mean, both of the people I wanted to meet were absolutely phenomenal. I would like to have a chat with Bob Backlund, though.
Yeah. I've met him, and he's great.
Yeah, Bob Backlund. Now, to me, I mean, is there a wrestler today that I would like to meet right now? I would say probably not, only because, like, Bruce, Phil, everybody else that's on the channel, we've met our share of wrestlers, and it does lose its luster, so to speak. I understand where you're coming from. But I could probably rephrase the question, like, if there was any wrestler that I would like to meet, dead or alive, or talent, to me, I would do anything. I don't know why this sounds weird, but I would do anything to sit down across a conference room table and have a conversation with the dean of professional wrestling, Gordon Solie. Because he is the guy that kept me going on Saturday nights and educated me on the sport of professional wrestling with the soup play and the sunset flips and all that stuff. I would
wrench Salto.
Yep. I would just love to say, I mean, wrestlers are wrestlers. I get it. Like, yeah, I'd love to meet Hulk Hogan in his heyday. I've met Bob Backlund, you know, those are the guys, you know, I've met other wrestlers and so forth. But if I could go back in time and want to meet, I'd be Gordon Solie, and tied right under that would be Buddy Rogers, the Nature Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was the first real TV wrestler that had the looks. You know, he was, you know, Gorgeous George type thing, but a little more updated, so to speak. But,
Ultimate showman.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean, he said that comment on TV hell broke loose.
And that was Bill Apter's favorite wrestler, I think.
Yep. The Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers. Yeah. And it was two Nature Boys at one time. Didn't they fight each other too, Flair and Rogers?
I think in 1979.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But like Buddy was like 61, Flair was about 30. So,
right.
Which now by today's standards isn't that crazy. We just think of Sting at age 64.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The Stinger.
That was something I wanted to bring up, though. I wanted to, and if, you know, whoever's in the chat room.
Yeah.
I really think that when Sting came into WWE, I forget what year it was, that he should have gone over Triple H in WrestleMania. I thought that was a horrible booking decision.
Is that the one where he got hurt in that match? Did he hurt himself in that match?
No, I don't think he did. I think he got hurt against Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins did it.
Yeah, that whole Sting Triple H was NWO Horseman type thing.
They didn't book that correctly.
Yeah, that was a tough gig, and that could be the Vince McMahon effect too, because he was involved in all that. So, you know, it's almost like Vince wanted to bring Sting in, and then punish him for being the nemesis for so many years. You know what I mean? With WCW.
Just to show that, like, you were the face of WCW. And, yeah. You know, compared to us, you're really not anything.
Yeah, you were the enemy, right? Yeah. So I don't know. You never know. Bruce, what do you think of that?
Well, Sting was one of the most important things when it came to that initial WCW growth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was on every wrestling cover. When he beat Ric Flair for the championship back what was that, 90? That was one of the biggest things. He was the most popular wrestler of the year that year. So, I mean, he was so relevant. And I don't think people realize how he was relevant for how long. It was, you know, from the early 80s all the way on up till now. That's crazy. And,
yeah, I mentioned it last night under 30, the Sting and the Undertaker at WrestleMania. They need to have that match. I think that would just solidify every wrestling fan. Look at it in a generational aspect. You would get fans of nowadays. You would get fans of 30 years ago and everybody in between, because Sting and the Undertaker carried their prospective companies at a time when they both companies needed it. When WCW was on top,
generations.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? You don't think that's in the back of people's minds, both on the Sting side of things as well as WWE? I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's not wrestling anymore. I still don't buy the fact that he's really officially retired. I get it, but are we ever in the wrestling world really retired?
How many times does Terry Funk retire?
Mick Foley wants to come out of retirement. You know, Ric Flair still wants to die in the ring. Everybody wants their last shot. And I think health-wise, The Undertaker looks in phenomenal shape if you haven't seen him lately. And, you know, I honestly think they always have that one last match mentality. And I think the Sting and The Undertaker are something they really should put together really quick. And do not put them in Saudi Arabia. That's the only thing is it has to be on U.S. soil, not Saudi Arabia. What do you guys think of that?
I agree with the setting for sure. Absolutely. You know, maybe, you know, they should have it somewhere on the Mason-Dixon line, that great divider that used to, you know, dividing the old traditional WWF Northeast and, of course, Mid-Atlantic WCW.
That's a great idea. Where would you have it? Because now
have it right somewhere in the border, the Mason-Dixon line, whatever major arena you could find right on, you know, somewhere along that line.
The only thing I majored cool. in, I'm not good at high school. The only thing I majored in high school was gym, lunch, and women, girls. but I'll tell you, Minneapolis, Minnesota is rumored to have WrestleMania next year. Would that be a good neutral site, so to speak?
Yeah, it would be AWA territory. Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
What kind of match would they have to have, though?
What's that?
What kind of match would they have to have? It would have to be some type of gimmick.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, yeah, Hell in a Cell. I don't know.
And who goes Hell in a Cell? Then you could do Mankind's last match with right, wrap them all together. That,
it'd have to be I Quit match. Who's going to say I quit first? That you know what I mean? That's synonymous with both their legacies, right? I quit. You know what I mean? Undertaker never quit. Sting never quit. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's a good idea, Bruce. There you go. That may be a question for Death 30.
Maybe Greg Gagne is the referee or something.
The only reason I said Minneapolis because I have no idea where the hell the Mason-Dixon line is. Is that down south? Is that south?
Yeah. I figured it'd be right. I'm sure J.A., if we look in the chat, he might know.
P.A. and Maryland, isn't it?
What's that?
Isn't it between Pennsylvania and Maryland?
It very likely could be, Benny. I don't even remember. I remember knowing it once, perhaps.
I would imagine they might have to do it in a warm weather setting, though. Those guys, you know, WrestleMania is like March, April time zone. So you got to go to a warm weather setting or indoor setting at least.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that'd be a good deal. I think the Sting and the Undertaker would be, you know, because when you think about it, the Sting, actually, the Undertaker Goldberg fiasco in Saudi Arabia, even like Goldberg had a chance to come back from that a little bit. You know what I mean? I just think Sting, Undertaker, they could build that storyline, and you know, half the match will just be entrances alone. You know, between the Undertaker and Sting's entrance right there, and you just have every generation of wrestler that was around sit all at ringside. Like it could be one. You could really book this really good if you could, if you really put your.
I just can't see Sting coming back to get jobbed out though.
I'm not saying there would be a clear winner. No one's going
to have to have some kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the booking, right? I don't know. Bruce, you're just full of so much energy tonight.
I'm just reading through the chat here. Foxhole Willie says, what was your favorite animal used in wrestling? I got to go with Jake Roberts, the snake there.
Oh, did you guys see that Sunday night? That was great on A&E. Yeah.
Matilda.
Ooh, Matilda. Oh, yeah.
The dog for the British Bulldogs.
Yeah, Matilda. Oh, what else was used? The Gobbly Googer? No, that was...
Coco Beware had his bird.
The parrot, yep.
Ricky Steamboat had that Komodo dragon.
Oh, yeah, for a little bit, yeah. I still liked it when he breathed the fire, when he shot the fire. That was cool.
I'm thinking back to sometime in the late 80s, outside the Worcester Centrum, where the wrestlers used to park and come in the building. And the little kids and big kids gathered out there, and the Bulldogs were walking in the building.
Yeah.
And some little kid with a squeaky little voice yells to Davey, "Where's Matilda?" And under his breath, he turns to Dynamite and says, "He's with your mother." Nice. How awful.
He's with your mother.
Bulldogs are awful. He's with
your mother. Didn't Alice Cooper bring in snakes too at WrestleMania 2?
He might have. He might have.
Yeah, something like that was going on there. I think I remember that. What other animals have been in wrestling? That's a really good question, Jay Will. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, back in the day, they used to be wrestling bears.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yep. Dogs, cats. I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top. The snakes.
Scott Steiner once either pose or walk down with a tiger on a leash.
Al Snow had his dog, the little chihuahua.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does Socko count? Socko, Mankind, Mick Foley. Socko, Socko.
Pepe.
Unbelievable. All right, folks. I think we're going to run right on schedule here. This is pretty good. We can commence our Friday night. Part two, I guess, all that good stuff. Anything good happening on SmackDown up there, Phil? I see it reflecting off your glasses.
Randy Orton and Kevin Owens are in the ring now, and it looks like Logan Paul is stalking outside the ring. He's walking away. He's with that Aussie. What's his name? Grayson Waller, and what's his name from Atlanta, Georgia? The pretty boy.
Oh, Harry.
Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, that's the real RKO.
It is. Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah, there you go, huh? Hey,
yeah.
Real quickly, I know I was about to say goodbye. Maybe we could bring this up later on this week, but Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, fighting it out. What do you guys think of that? That's actually going to be on Netflix, by the way. That's going to be on Netflix, so they're going to be streaming a live sporting event. That's probably one of their first events. What do you guys think of that?
A work in progress, man.
Work in progress. Bruce, what do you got?
I don't know. Jake Paul is actually, I mean, I always thought he was a joke, but he's actually become a real athlete. Well, I think he was always a real athlete, but the past few matches, he's actually shown that he can box.
Yeah.
But he's going against the monster, Mike Tyson. I mean,
I know.
If Tyson's 25% of what he was, Jake Paul stands zero chance.
But can a state commission actually license this? Can they actually sign off on a 57-year-old man? You know,
57, right? I think
57-year-old man against a 27-year-old man. Can they sign off on this as far as it being an actual athletic event versus, say, an exhibition? I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a tough one.
Can Tyson pass the physical? You know, I know he's got sciatica, which can really create, you know, remember he was pushed through the airport once in a wheelchair. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
But can Mike Tyson, is he allowed to get a boxing license? Isn't he like, he can't box in Vegas and all that stuff.
Yeah. That was lifted years ago. That was
lifted. Okay. Yeah, so
I think it was only 10 years or something.
I would say, I think this is more, you know, when I heard it was going to be on Netflix, I'm like, there they go. Cause Netflix is a work in progress. Like we were talking about earlier, going to Netflix, this is going to be like one of their first live events that they're going
to
cover.
Netflix 2.0 about to launch, basically.
Yeah, basically. So they're going to get, you know, they're going to do like a pro tennis match later on this month or next month or whatever, too. So they're going to start picking up steam with this, you know, this stuff here. But as for Mike Tyson, the key to Jake Paul is just to see how long Mike Tyson can last, because it's going to be that old thing. If Mike Tyson lands one right on Jake Paul, it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Loose Cannon saying that Jake Paul is minus 500. So he's got a big lead there. So
that's a youth thing though. So yeah, we'll see what kind of match we get, you know, just as long as Peter McNeely doesn't show up.
Hey, Medfield's finest, right?
The pride of Medfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys. You guys have all been great. What's going on this week? Phil, what do you got coming up this week? Anything?
Working this weekend. We're working tomorrow anyway. Lying low, no hockey games or anything. A few more weeks till baseball starts. Then it's going to be crazy, you know. And AEW next month, too. So I'm going to be going to a WooSox game in the afternoon and AEW at night. So
at the Pola Park.
At Pola Park. Pola Park
in Worcester. All right. And the player, what do you got going on? You're kicking back already.
Great,
look at you.
Dan and Benny in the Ring on Tuesday. We have an author, Oliver Bateman, nice. Great author. And the following Monday will be, I think we're going to do for true crime, the Menendez brothers, because there's been some a little bit of controversy about them.
All right. Cool. Yeah. That'd be cool. Awesome. Looking forward to that. ESO, what do you got cooking?
All right. Well, first thing, we have the 30 this Thursday. And then we have right after that, Monty and the Pharaoh will be live from their new studio. And Jimmy will be in studio this week. So then Friday night, Chuck Palumbo is going to be in studio for an interview.
Oh, wow.
Saturday, nice. I get to meet up with that guy in the top quarter there, Phil DeCesare, at the table at the big event. Phil will be signing autographs and taking pictures. If you talk to me ahead of time, I will get you the discount of free.
Nice. Bring it home, baby. Bring it home. So, now, are we on the air next week? Is wrestling remembered on the air next week, or is Monty taking that over? Like, you guys being live and stuff?
I honestly don't know.
Oh, stay tuned.
We have to figure that out this night off. The week, though. Right, but then after that, we have after the big event next week, we have interview with Jerry Lawler, and then Rita,
Robin's
daughter,
Andre's daughter, and then Eric Sims, and that should be fun too. But looking forward to seeing you again. This should be a good time.
Absolutely, Bruce. It'll be a blast.
So awesome. And, that's awesome. All I got there, Joe.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to kick back this weekend. Date night with Baby Cakes, going out to eat tomorrow night. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
We have to drive like 5 hours just to go to a normal restaurant. Right here, whatever. We got that going on, of course. No true crime Monday, so that's a little break. But Wednesday night, what a day with Joe Lowry. We already have the reminder up there on YouTube on the Monty and the Pharaoh channel.
What time, Joe?
That will be 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Central time. Yeah,
I was working the last one. I missed
it. Right. I think it went an hour earlier, but yeah. So the show's really growing. So I bumped it up an hour for the East Coast fans and stuff. So, but yeah, this Balls Out bowling event is huge. The press is all over it. So I'm going to fill everybody in on the
legit. Lot of wood.
A lot of wood, yeah. You should see the pictures, man.
Do they have to wear bowling shoes? Is that the only thing?
Now, a couple of pictures show bowling shoes. Some of the girls are barefoot. Some of the guys are sandals. I don't know, man.
Shoes and a fanny pack.
Yeah, no, you can't. It, real quickly, though, if you look at the invite, people have got all sorts of questions on this, and they're like, do I have to be naked if I don't bowl? It's $25 to get in the door. It's a fundraiser, too. So it's $25 to get in the door, and you have to be naked. Now, the only option is women can wear something on the bottom, and the only reason being is if it's during their cycle. If they're menstruating at the time, they have to wear a bottom. Other than that, no clothing. No clothing is allowed. It's crazy.
They confiscate cameras at the door or something.
No cameras, right? No cameras either. No video cameras. They lock everybody's stuff up. You have to bring a towel, obviously, to sit on. Put your own shoes if you want to wear them, and so forth. A change of clothes. Bags will be searched. No cameras. All that stuff. This is the first time this has happened. This has happened numerous amounts of times. They do this like a couple times a year. So this is a big deal. I caught on to the story, and every time I go back to it, it's popping up on Fox. It's popping up everywhere now. So
no pun intended, Joe.
They're popping up for sure.
Yeah, and they're really adamant of it because it's a
Get in if it pops up.
The Pittsburgh Naturalist Society. A guy runs it, and he's very professional. Yeah, it's not – everyone's talking, sex, orgy, you know. It's not like that. It's about not body shaming. It's a healing thing. It's, you know, it's a different lifestyle. But to throw that on a bowling alley, it just, you know. And to call it Balls Out, it's called Balls Out Bowling Night. So that's –
quick wrestling reference. Do you know who was a part of that subculture? Who's part of that sort of thing? The late Missing Link.
Oh, geez.
The wrestler, the Missing Link.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
he and his family lived in that sort of environment before.
Yeah. Wow.
And they invited Rick Rude down once, and he went down there and he couldn't even participate. He said, I can't be a part of this. Yeah.
I've been to topless beaches and all that stuff, and that's okay because, you know, voyeurism is all part of the deal. But bowling. You know, there's some serious movement in bowling that I don't think anybody wants to be naked for, but these people do it and they're selling out. These aren't just nudist people doing it. People are actually going there for the first time nude. you know, I'll try not to give too much away, but I mean, if people are buying tickets from all over the world to come bowl nude. Some people have never been nude before. That's why they have this huge question and answer part on the website. So
no fig leaves either then, eh?
Nothing. Unless the women are menstruating, they do have to wear some protective garment underneath. But other than that, you have to be nude. So go figure that one. So that'll be the highlight for Wednesday night. So tune into that. Of course, we'll be hooking up with Monty and the Farrell next week and all the good stuff there. And hopefully Wrestling Remnant shouldn't be preempted. So we'll be back. But special huge thank you to the chat. You guys have been
absolutely great.
Very good stuff here tonight. By the way, go ahead, share the video, like the video, subscribe to the video. Monty and the Farrell YouTube channel growing. Bruce, I was looking at the analytics today. We're almost approaching 17,000, 16,000,
17,000? 16. We're about to hit 16,000.
Right. So, the other day we were 15.
This is the push to 16, and then let's get this up to 20,000. It's not that far away.
Yeah, we're gonna get it. All starts by sharing the video, liking it, subscribing it. You don't get to pay right now, but just tell your friends about it and all that stuff, and then subscribe. If you like what you see, let us know, you know. But thank you to the chat. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great weekend. I'm going to roll us out of here. I'm Joe Lowry. What a day, guys.
What a day, baby. See you guys.